Good morning again. Let's pray together before we start. Father, just like we said, just saying, would you take our life? God, let no part of our life be so guarded against your influence. Would you just take our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to understand you more and more? And God, ultimately, everything we talk about today is just only done by your power. And so we just pray, Spirit, would you flow through us? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were sailing. And we were sailing just for a little while. We had been on the water a little while in a small boat, just kind of with one sail. And we were following, actually, a little map, a little treasure map, actually. And we came across this island that we figured was the right one. And we dropped anchor by the island, and we hopped off. And we started digging around this island, and we started trying to follow this little map that we had. It wasn't very good. And dug a whole bunch of holes until finally we actually, that there was this really satisfying clunk as we hit something in the sand. And we dug it out, and it was this kind of ruddy-looking, stereotypical treasure chest. And we dug it up, and we put it onto the boat, and then we actually went back onto the island to grab some supplies before we left. And while we were on the island, another boat had actually pulled up that we didn't see, and a guy got off the boat with, I kid you not, a barrel of gunpowder. He puts it on our boat, he takes our treasure chest, he gets on his boat and starts to take off, detonates the gunpowder barrel, and our boat explodes and it starts to sink, and Andrew and I, of course, see it at that point, and we're like, what is going on? And we got, of course, Andrew and I were like super ticked. Now, it wasn't a big deal because it was just a video game, but we were really upset because who is this guy and why is he doing that to us? We were like out of proportion angry for this video game. You know, we calmed down and we kept playing, but it just felt like we were so irritated from this little exchange that we just kind of like kept really like we were kind of nippy with each other, you know, and really testy after that. And even after we stopped playing, and you know, I just found myself easily frustrated with things in life, just small things at home. And I had to keep reminding myself just how silly it was that I was feeling so easily angered because of a 30-minute video game interaction. And it was just ridiculous. And I wanted to snap at my family and all that. And I just kept remembering the verse in Ephesians chapter 4, 26 says, "In your anger, do not sin," or "be angry and do not sin." Anger is just such a wicked and dangerous thing in our lives. I share that story for a couple of reasons. The first is because, as was mentioned, I'm continuing Tom's series through the seven deadly sins, and I got anger. And now I would not refer to myself as an angry guy or a short-tempered guy, but I definitely do get angry. And not just at like big injustices, but like little things too, kind of like that the video games. And I think most people, if we're honest with ourselves, would say, like, yeah, there are some big things in life that get us angry. Big injustice we get upset about. And if we're honest, like I said, the small things too. You know, sometimes it can be really small. Sometimes we just need a snack. We need a Snickers. I debated about showing a Snickers commercial. But, you know, so I struggle with it lots too. I think we all do. And it's just so easy to get angry. And this morning as we talk about anger, I just really, really want to encourage you to not just think about that angry person that you know, and to really just look at yourself, because that's all you can change, and all you can just do is let the Lord work on our own hearts. So just really consider that. And some people would deny that they're angry people. They're like, I wouldn't get angry. And they think about anger as, you know, somebody who yells and screams and slams doors. Well, it looks different to different people when they're angry. I'm not a door slammer when I get angry. I don't kick things and shove things and punch pillows and scream. But some people do. Some people, that's very much how they express their anger. Some people are far more subtle. They're like, oh no, I'm not angry. And then they stab you in the back, you know, like as soon as you're not looking. So everybody gets angry. And the dictionary actually defines anger as a strong feeling of displeasure, annoyance, or hostility. And then, of course, that manifests so differently in different people. And isn't it funny how we always think that we're right, you know? Everyone always feels like their own views on things are balanced and they make sense. And you know what? When I agreed to preach on anger, I kind of felt like the same way. I felt that I have a healthy, balanced view of anger. And then as is often when we dig into God's word, I started to read and the Spirit was showing me a new perspective. And this morning, as as we talk about anger, there's been a shift in my perspective from when I started to prepare for today till now after reading God's word. It wasn't a huge shift or anything, but it was a definite perspective change. So this morning, as we explore the topic of anger, I want to encourage you to keep an open mind. I want to encourage you to go beyond today and just explore the scriptures for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to shape you in this area, because it's by his power that we can make any kind of progress when it comes to our anger. So to start off this morning, I want to start off with the first question that I asked myself, which was, if anger is not a sin, why is it one of the seven deadly sins? So we know anger is not actually a sin because God himself gets angry. You see, Psalm 7:11 says, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. Even Jesus got angry. In Mark 3, we see that Jesus healed a man's crippled hand. They brought this guy to Jesus to heal his hand on the Sabbath, and it was a test to see if he would actually heal him on the Sabbath. And so it says that Jesus looked around at them and knew what they were thinking. And so he says to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to harm, to save a life or to kill? And when no one answers Jesus, it says that Jesus looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, before he goes and heals the man. And then in Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Paul's words here show us that there is a difference between being angry and sin. So anger is not a sin. So why is it one of the seven deadly sins then? Well, I think Tom actually answered it really well last Sunday in his sermon. He said the seven deadly sins are actually destructive root issues that lead someone into many different sins. So they're destructive root issues that lead someone to many different sins. So while anger itself is not a sin, it leads to sin very quickly. And I think we can all agree on that. So what was my change of perspective? Well, I would say that I viewed anger most of my adult life as something that we should have at times. I felt that in some situations, anger is good for, it is good for us to be angry, and we should be angry because it motivates us to make change. Now, I assume our anger shouldn't be disproportionate, like playing video games and now all of a sudden I'm super mad. But assuming that the anger is reasonable and grounded in righteousness, then it should be good. The term righteous anger has been used a lot. I've used it a lot. And that what that's trying to get at is that there are some things that make God angry, and so therefore we should be angry at those same things, right? For instance, we should be angry and it should make us mad when we see great injustice done in the world. It should make us mad when we see someone hurting another child of God. It should make us mad when someone we love is being hurt. It should make us mad when we see sin, because God is mad at sin. So at least that's how I started. So I kind of viewed anger that anger, it was a tool to use, something to motivate us, something that we could use in our anger, move forward, as long as it was righteous anger and helping us to relate to God. But my problem, however, was that as I looked into God's word, I saw the opposite. The Bible says over and over that we need to rid ourselves of anger. It warns that if we stay in anger, it will lead us to folly, destruction, and sin. And I see no special exceptions. In James chapter 1, I'll just run through some verses that I came across. And this is not all of them. There's a lot on anger. But here's some. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, gives full vent to in his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Proverbs 14:29 says, he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Matthew 5:22 says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the fire of hell. And even in the passage in Ephesians 4, verse 26, where it says, be angry and do not sin, it's followed by some warnings in the following verses. The whole of it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Then a few verses later in verse 31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And then in Colossians 3, verse 7, we see the same thing. It says, in these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. So while I thought it was there were times where it would be right for me to stay in my anger and to stay angry, I have not found a single place in Scripture that says that we should stay angry. Every verse that I read that is instructive to us tells us to get rid of anger. Therefore, where I feel I'm at in my journey of learning about anger in my life as a follower of Christ is that it is okay for me to experience anger, to acknowledge it, to guard myself and my actions from sin, and then to get rid of the anger quickly. This is what I see the Scriptures teaching on anger. Now, when I was first reading this and grappling with this, I was conflicted in my current understanding of anger, and I didn't like it. But I want to apply my life to the Scriptures. I don't want to take wisdom from the Scriptures and sprinkle it into my life. So I want to trust that His way is better than my way. So we're going to unpack this a little bit more. If it is not okay to stay angry, then why on earth would we get angry in the first place? Is there a reason for anger? Well, anger is a godly emotion. God Himself gets angry perfectly. Perhaps part of what it means to be created in the image of God is that we share some of these same attributes with the Lord. I imagine maybe once we're in heaven, we will be with the Lord in our perfected bodies, and we'll likely be angry at the same things that makes God angry because we'll have learned the same perspective that He has. I was actually talking to the young adults on Thursday about the topic of anger and hearing from them. And Emily pointed out this great thing that our anger, when we're angry, it actually helps us relate and understand how God must feel against injustice. I thought that was beautiful. And anger is like many emotions that we feel, that when it's done well, it may serve a purpose, but because we're human and we struggle with sin, our emotions quickly get out of hand and lead us down a path we don't want to be on. We're not God. We can't get perfectly angry. Anger is also part of our body's warning system. Think of it like feeling pain. If your hand goes and touches a hot stove, it sends a signal, of course, to your brain. Your brain says, ouch, and sends a signal back telling you what to do about it. And so you move, and you come off the hot stove, right? And without feeling any pain, we wouldn't recognize that something is wrong. Now, do we like pain? No, we think pain is not good, but essentially pain is good because it gets us out of harmful situations. It tells us that something is wrong. And in the same way, our anger tells us that something is wrong. When we get angry, something we love is being hurt. When we get angry, something we love is being hurt. Where anger can go bad, though, is that sometimes we love the wrong things or love things in the wrong order. So imagine a child who's carrying a dish, one of his parents' favorite dish. Maybe he's goofing around, maybe not, but he drops the dish and it breaks on the floor, and the parent gets really mad and starts yelling at that child. In that moment, that parent is loving the dish more than they're loving the child through their actions because it's out of order. And I guess sometimes when people say things to us and they insult us and they hurt our ego, and then we lash out at them, and hurt them, or we make fun of them, or we, you know, however it acts out, we're loving our ego more than we're loving that person. When we're having an irritated day and we're just lashing out at the people around us, we're not loving those people. We're loving our own comfort. So anger should alert us in an ideal sense that something we love is being hurt, and it should cause us to take pause and consider what we're trying to defend. So inherently, it is something really good, assuming that we're loving the right things, which unfortunately is not always the case. And so another question I asked myself was, can anger be used to help us accomplish justice or good things? And honestly, I think it has potential. Maybe in a fight or flight scenario where you have to defend yourself or immediately move to action perhaps, but really aside from a few distinct scenarios, I think most of the times that I've been angry and I think about all the foolish choices that I've made in my anger, I don't know. Timothy Keller said, no other emotion has led to so much violence and literally so many dead bodies. And when you act in anger, your brain stops working in the way that it normally does. Many scientific studies have been done to show that when we're angry, there's actually changes to our body as well. Our cardiovascular system changes, our hormonal response changes, and our brain actually works differently when we're angry. So when you're angry, your blood pressure increases, and your body gets ready for a fight, and your ability to process complex information is reduced, which means that it's actually, we have a hard time hearing or listening or interpreting information and understanding other people when we're angry. And instead of being, instead of doing that, we actually become hyper-focused or single-focused when we're angry. One study showed that elevated cortisol in our brain is released, which disrupts the creation of new memories and our access to our short-term memories. Studies show that being angry often can even lead to habitual behaviors. Habitual behaviors of being angry, aggressive, and depressed over time, and can even lead to great anxiety. And there's this ton of other stuff that I found that can happen to your body when we're angry, which should tell us that anger is not a state that we're created to stay in. Anger is not a state that we should be trying to remain in. And as I've said it before when talking about anger in the past, that anger should be a red flag for us to help us recognize that maybe our purpose is wrong and that maybe we're living for the wrong purpose. So we were created to bring glory to God. That's our purpose in life. That's why he made us. That's why he made you and me, is to bring him glory. And as soon as we live for anything other than that, obstacles can get in the way. There's no obstacle that can get in the way of us bringing glory to God, right? Good situation, bad situation, we can always bring glory to God. But let's say my purpose changes, and let's say my purpose becomes, I want to be a really good youth pastor. And that's my purpose in life. Or a really good father, or a really good husband. Well, there's a ton of different obstacles that can get in the way of that being my singular purpose. And so those, every time we hit an obstacle to our misaligned purpose, we get angry. And when we can't solve those things, we become frustrated. And so every time we get angry, it should be this red flag that should go, oh, maybe you're not living for the right purpose. Maybe you're not living to bring glory to God in this situation. So we want to feel anger in the same way that we want to feel pain. Without it, we would probably be in trouble. It's just like being in pain. We don't want to remain in pain, right? You don't want to keep your hand on the stove. The longer we keep our hand on the stove, the more it hurts and the more damage it does to us. And in a similar way, anger should alert us and help us deal with the issue that's causing the anger so we can get out of it. Now, sometimes there might be real injustice in the world. Sometimes it might just be our ego that gets bruised, alerting us to the sin of pride in our life or other sin. And sometimes we just need a snack and we're hangry. And our body's saying, look out, grab some food. This is why we never want to suppress our anger. This is why we want to allow ourselves to be angry and to get angry. And we never want to shame ourselves for feeling anger. We never want to sweep anger under the rug and not deal with it, right? When you sweep anger under the rug, that leads to bitterness in your life. Just kind of like the opposite, right? If you let anger loose and give full vent to your rage, that leads to wrath. Instead, it's important for us to acknowledge our anger, calm down, and figure out what made us angry so that we can deal with it and then respond in wisdom instead of folly. And if you're like me at this point, and I like to argue and things, I was asking myself, wait a minute. What about when I'm feeling angry and I feel that I'm honestly justified to be angry in that moment? What about righteous anger? What about when somebody really hurts me? Like it actually hurts me or actually hurts someone that I love. Am I not allowed to stay angry in those situations? What if they're not repentant, right? And you know, am I not allowed to stay angry with that person? And I think the answer is no. Like I said, we'll get angry because something we love isn't being hurt or in trouble. But just like every other situation, we need to get rid of our anger so that we can move forward with wisdom. Let's look at righteous anger. We are never told in Scripture that we need to be angry about anything. I was reading this book by Brent Hansen called Unoffendable, and he talks about how Christians are often some of the most angry people because they feel so entitled to be angry because of righteous anger. And he argues that we should actually forfeit our right to be angry and to be offended and to hold on to anger. He points out that this strikes at our very pride and forces us not only to think about humility, but to actually be humble. He also points out that the problem with righteous anger directed at another person is really tricky, because we always feel that our anger is more righteous than another person's anger. And it's always because we are just always so right, right? I think about my anger and I think about how many times I've been angry and in that moment, I thought, I shouldn't be angry right now. No, you always feel like this is exactly what I should be doing. I am trying to seek justice in this moment. We always side with ourselves and our arguments always seem convincing to us. Proverbs 16:2 says, you may believe you are doing right, but the Lord will judge your reasons. In the moment, your anger always seems righteous. It always seems like a righteous anger. It always seems like an appropriate response to the situation. But I have to remember that it is just an emotion, and I can't always trust my emotions, and that my emotions will lead me into wisdom. And I think at this point, it's really important, as we're thinking about righteous anger and social justice and making change and standing up for the oppressed, it's really important to identify that there is a difference between anger and action. There is a difference between anger and hate. There is a difference between anger and dislike. There is a difference between anger and conviction. Anger is simply an emotional response. Some people feel like if you're not angry about something, then you don't care. But that can't be further from the truth. You can care so deeply about something and take action on it without being angry. In fact, actually, a recent study at the UBC, University of British Columbia, was done where they looked at situations where people got worked up and angry over a cause online. And so if people saw this cause online and they got really upset about it, if they were able to click a like button or a share button, then according to the research, when they were polled after and studied after, they felt like they had taken action on the issue because they clicked like or share. And so actually that's not the only study, but there's other studies like it that show us that actually when we are angry and being angry often can actually lead us to take less action to resolve issues than to take more action. So when we actually separate the emotion of anger from taking action, it helps us to not cling to our feelings of having justified anger. Oh, this is my righteous anger that will lead me to take action on this issue. No, you don't have to be angry to do that. So when I actually feel justified in my anger, I have to remember in those circumstances, I want to proceed with wisdom. And I want to proceed in a way that helps resolve or fix the issue. And the Bible says that if I act in my anger, it will lead me to foolishness, not wisdom. So I have to do away with my anger. I have to get rid of the anger as quickly as I can. And remember, getting angry is normal and natural and even healthy for us to experience. And I am not saying do not get angry. I am not saying don't be angry. What I am saying is do not stay angry. Now, there may be an actual emergency situation where you have to make a quick decision in anger and it will motivate us to action quickly. But the Bible says that we should be slow to anger, meaning that we shouldn't let ourselves be quickly wrapped up in things, right? When your kids do something wrong, you have to remember that it's not an emergency. So instead of yelling at your kids in that moment, you have to pause and go, this is not an emergency, and then calm down and parent well. When your boss at work says something that ticks you off, don't go full venting into their office or quietly gossiping around the office around your coworkers. Calm down. Remember, you work for the Lord, not for men, and then proceed with wisdom. Like Dave said, we're going into election season, right? If you're having a conversation with someone about politics or religion or money or sex or whatever it is, and tension gets heated and you start getting mad, don't fly off the handle because your ego is so easily threatened. And then in turn, you insult them. How about calm down and then love your neighbor? So what are we supposed to do about anger? If we're not actually supposed to stay angry, how are we supposed to be slow to anger? How are we supposed to get rid of anger? What can we do? Well, the first thing is just recognizing that you're angry, acknowledging it, and then just pause. We have to stop ourselves before we move forward in foolishness. We don't want to do something foolish in our anger. We don't want to hurt somebody or sin in our anger. So we have to pause and stop. We have to assess what's going on. What's the problem? Assessing our physical body is really important, right? Are we hungry? Are we stressed? We have to assess what our goal is in this moment, right? We have to shift our goal from whatever it is that we want in that moment to how do I bring glory to God in this moment? In fact, that's a really good question to ask yourself. The next time you're arguing with a spouse or a coworker or you're stubbed your toe and you're just cranky, stop and say, how do I best bring you glory, God, in this situation? I'm angry at my spouse. God, how do I bring you glory in this situation? Asking that question helps us understand what it is exactly that we are trying to defend. Is it my own ego? Is it my insecurities? My perspective? Are my priorities disordered? Is my anger out of proportion to the situation? Am I even angry at the right things? Or maybe there are other things. Maybe there are past hurts and issues in your life, right? And I'm not a psychologist, but all of those things, how you were raised and how your parents were, can all shape and influence how you react to stimulus and all of that. And you know, maybe that's something you have to explore. But one important thing that I've learned in the last handful of years is the importance of the story that we tell ourselves. We often get information about a situation and from a situation, then we make all kinds of assumptions about what other people are thinking. And we get all kinds of assumptions what other people mean behind the words that they say or they text us or they email us. And maybe it's just me, but I cannot count how many times I've made somebody upset because of something I've said as an honest misunderstanding because I was unclear. And in relationships, we have to seek understanding. We have to try to understand other people's stories. We have to try to tell the stories we tell ourselves are not ever right. Like they're so bad most of the time. In our anger, we believe the first story that we tell ourselves. And often that story is that just really the other person's just a big jerk and they don't like us and they're trying to make our life miserable, right? And we assume that everybody is out to get us. The other day, I was actually driving in with my family in the van, and it was really wet, it was muddy, it was when the snow was starting to melt. And so we're driving, windows are, you know, dirty, and I was in the left lane. And I had to go into the right lane. And so I signaled, and I shoulder checked, and I wasn't in a rush. And I saw the vehicle was, I clearly had enough room between the white SUV that was behind me. So I slowly move over to the next lane, and sure enough, I hear this honk. I hear this horn blaring behind me. And so I look in the rearview mirror, and there was this little black car that I didn't see because my windows were just too dirty to really see it with the sun and everything. And I felt terrible because I had cut this guy off. And in that moment, I was just like, oh my goodness, I cut that guy off. Like, and there's nothing you can do at that point. You've already done it. And you're like, oh, I feel so sheepish. You know, I know what it's like to be cut off. And it was totally my fault. I should have cleaned my window before I did that lane change. Even though I signaled and did all of those things, shoulder checked, and I didn't see him, and I felt bad, I don't know exactly what went through his head. I have an idea what went through his head. Because the next thing that he did probably showed me that he thought I was the biggest idiot on the road. And I think that because he immediately swerves into the left lane and he races up in front kind of beside me and he puts his hand out the window and he shakes his finger at me and it was not wagging a pointer finger at me. And then he proceeds to go in front of me and like jerk his car in front of me to try to cut me off, to show me what it's like, teach me what it feels like to be cut off in traffic because apparently they thought I didn't know what it felt like to be cut off. And then they raced off. Now, that person told themselves a story about that situation, and then they acted in anger to try to teach me a lesson. And so it's important when we're angry and in our anger to not make assumptions about other people. And it's also important for us not to seek vengeance or revenge. When somebody actually hurts us or somebody we love, the Bible is very clear that we need to love our enemies, not be angry with them. Even those who persecute us for our faith, we should be forgiving towards. We have to trust that God will be the one to execute perfect justice and vengeance. It's not for us to do. We are not God. We do not get perfectly angry. And there's a whole stem here. I really struggled with trying to fit all of this in, but there's a whole stem here you could go down just on forgiveness alone and what it looks like to forgive people quickly, what it looks like to offer people forgiveness, to bring in reconciliation and healing. Forgiveness is a key aspect to our getting rid of anger and offering forgiveness and being ready to forgive. And as I stand up here this morning and I say all of these things, you know, I absolutely understand that anger is not just like a light switch. We can't just flick it and turn it off. Turning off our anger or getting rid of our anger is hard. And situations are complicated, so complicated. But the warning in Scripture seems very clear that anger will lead us to folly if we stay there. The Bible also gives some other ideas of what to do with anger. It says we must be slow to anger and deal with anger as soon as possible. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is patient has great understanding, but whoever is quick-tempered displays folly. Ephesians 4:26 says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now this is not about the time that we're talking about. This is not about the hour of day. This doesn't mean you only have 12 hours or less to get rid of your anger. It just means that we have to get rid of our anger quickly. And every situation is different. And it's going to take a different amount of time to get over your anger and to figure it out. When you stub your toe, that's a lot different than an argument with your spouse. A harsh word from a friend or a coworker is so much different than suffering abuse or loss of a loved one. But regardless of the situation, we have to be intentional at getting rid of our anger as quickly as possible. And the Bible also reminds us that we have to love others. In Matthew 5:44, it says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins." Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath." So when we're faced with someone who's angry, and someone's angry at us, instead of being angry back, be gentle. And even in our wrath, be gentle. When people make us angry, we have to be gentle with them. We have to be patient with them. We have to love them, replacing our anger with gentleness and peace. One of my favorite things about the book of Ephesians, if you read through it, you notice that there's all these, it talks about all these human relationships in chapter 4, 5, and 6. Paul goes on and on about these human relationships and potential conflict and issues. And then at the beginning of chapter 6, he goes, "But remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle isn't with each other. Our battle is against the powers of evil." So we have to remember that as we try to relate to others. We need to be intentional at getting rid of our anger quickly, no matter what it is, and we replace it with gentleness and peace. And there are, like I said, a ton more scriptures that I've got here that we can read, but none of this is even possible without the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, some people thrive. They are excited about being angry. It makes them happy. So I suppose this morning, I'll just leave us with this challenge. After service today, just as you invite each other for lunch or go home with your families, I just encourage us to talk about this issue. Talk about anger. Talk about what your journey of anger has been like for you. Share some of the ridiculous things you've been angry at so you can relate to one another and talk about things that work for you. Passages maybe that help get you through, like the other day when I was playing video games and I was just remembering, be angry but do not sin. Like, you know, what helps you? How has the Spirit grown you in this area? And share those things with each other. Read scriptures together. And maybe you're like me when I was first going into this and you've got a different perspective than what I just shared this morning. And so consider what the scriptures teach and consider how you might apply your life to the scriptures. Sit with it. Be patient with the idea. Let the Spirit move in you. Pray about it. Be open to change. Our anger is not going anywhere. We're going to be angry a lot more times. And I think we would all agree that we want to be ruled by peace and God's wisdom, and we want to live and act in wisdom, and we want to live and act in God's love and His grace far more than we want to be ruled by our rage. And by the Spirit's power, and only by the Spirit's power, and all of God's grace that He can muster for us, we will continue to be better and better at moving forward in gentleness. This time I want to invite the worship team to come up as I pray, and continue to pray for me in this, and continue to pray for all of us. Let's pray together now. Father, You have the power to change us. You have changed us, and You continue to shape us. God, You are wiser than we are, far beyond our wisdom, and You know our hearts. God, You care about us, and You care about what's best for us. And Father, we confess our anger to You. God, You know our struggles and how much we mess up. You know our heart and when it's turned away from You, when we want to go our own way. Maybe we have our own perspective on these things that doesn't line up with what You want. Father, we just thank You that as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven. And that we don't have to be angry or upset about those things. And Spirit, just that You would fill us and transform us and help us to be better. Help us to grow in this. God, please continue to help us in this. And God, there are people here who are so angry. And they're angry for all kinds of reasons. Maybe relationships, maybe in their marriages, and there's brokenness because of that. God, there are people here who yell a lot, and there are people here who slam doors, and people here who hurt other people when they're angry. And there are some people who are really struggling with it. And some people here are even just really angry with You. Maybe that's an ego thing. Maybe it's something with their past or a current hurt. Maybe they've lost something, or maybe they're suffering. And they just don't understand. But God, would You just be with them and give them an extra measure of Your grace? God, we thank You that You have big shoulders and You can handle all of our anger towards You. Would you show us a better way of gentleness? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.